Yeah. So they hear. That was beautiful, Jerry. And did you maybe you didn't see it, but when you hit that one high note, the sun shined brighter in the window like it was coming from under a cloud. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Do we have any announcements pertaining to church? Nance? Did everybody hear that?
I have a couple of community announcements.
Okay.
Back on the back bench as you go out, there is a paper. The auxiliary is doing a chicken, corn, and bean soup, chicken salad sandwich sale. If you want to order any, they're taking orders up till Tuesday. The numbers are on there to contact. Also, beside of that is the butchering coming up. So the meat orders are back there as well if you want to take any of those and turn them in. So the orders will be taken until Tuesday for the soup and sandwich, and you pick them up on Saturday morning, next Saturday morning, the 22nd, from 8 to 12. The butchering orders, they're being taken up until butchering time in November. Okay.
Any other announcements? Bob? No announcements?
Well, the only thing I got, I've been trying to get to Cracksfield out here in the parking lot, and they say maybe next Saturday. That's all I can know.
Anybody else? Okay. Short announcement list this week. Okay, call to worship comes from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come into this house of yours this morning. You've given us beautiful weather. You've given us good health that we may come into your house to worship and honor you. And Father, we thank you for these words. And Father, just as the elders that have gone on before us, they followed your way. They kept their feet on the paths and they meditated on your word daily, Father. And we just ask that you would help us to do the same, that you would give us that guidance and that inner strength and inner spirit to just keep us being diligent in your word and in your ways. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. The hymn today is 211. 211. For those who can, please stand and make a joyful noise. Okay, it's now time for sharing joys and concerns. It's a joy to see Caleb back there. We see Hunter and Joanne and Doll Baby. Who else has a joy or concern?
Debbie, I wanted to thank God for answering our prayers from Jigs. They didn't find a blood clot, but he still has, he's got to go to therapy now for his neck. And strokes was the old stroke, so. Thank God it wasn't their new strokes. And keep for Ricky and Debbie, and then we'll continue on out there. Thank you.
I always want to keep you in your prayers. I just say the Baker Plan because everyone needs.
Yes, be like somebody's got a sign.
Cover you all at one time. Danny?
Yeah. I have the joy, found out that my brother-in-law that had the accident with the table saw in his hand will be able to keep all of his fingers and doing his one well. So that turned out to be a joy. And,
awesome.
Just keep the Peters family on the prayer list.
Yes. You know, we should keep those in our congregation. We should pray for everyone, but we should do an extra little prayer for safety and just courage for those in our congregation. Don't forget to put Elijah in your prayers and Caleb. And I also add Lisa Reed's son-in-law, Kyle, who's in the Navy. And if all of you remember Mary Beth, her son Ian is a police officer. And we know that there Brent is a police officer. We know that they need our prayers for safety each and every day. So let's continue to keep all in our prayers for that. Nance? And that would be nice if some of us sent words of encouragement to Lottie and her husband, too, during his surgery.
First off, I want to thank God, beautiful Dan, for allowing us to have this wonderful old church here so many years and still be able to come in and be comfortable and share our love and share our faith and just share Almighty Spirit that He spread around with us. And then the next thing is our government. I'm going to think of them so much in its leadership. They're in desperate need of help, and may God be there for them. And then there's Jesse Toms of the paving company that's supposed to do a lot out here. He's been under the weather, so I want to lift him up too. And of course, Sam and Jackie back here for all their attendance to with us and their lives that they share and the love that they give and the ministry that he has is just wonderful. And Wilton and Tammy, to have difficulties, and prayerfully something will work out the smooth way. And then again, for our loving family and the kindness that they give so much. And then when we forget our church, well, it's God's church. And the church family that we share so many emotions with. And then we want to give you credit and praise, Deb, for all that you've done in the past and now and are doing for the future coming up. Bless you, Deb.
Well, just give him the praise and the glory. As long as he keeps me healthy and sane, we're good to go.
That is our prayer, too. And then naturally, our prayer book in the back, all the names that we often forget that are listed. And you do, too. You raise up the directory there many times over. Yeah. Each and every one needs to be touched in order to realize the power in His blood and in His giving.
Amen. Any others? Jerry's list.
My list, but I did talk to my friend Velma yesterday, who's been struggling with cancer, and she is progressing, so there's a joy. She's gaining some weight back a little bit, but I also want to keep my cousin Wanda, which also with cancer.
Yeah, I have.
She has to switch doctors with some issues going on there. So.
I have her in my prayers every day, and Velma and Woody. Woody? Any others?
I'll write one in this too, please. Excuse me. I had some things going on at this direction.
Frank?
I want to continue to keep Pat in our prayers. Of course, and all those in our congregation and so forth that have been having medical issues. Brother Bob, he covered most of them. Anyhow, we want to continue to pray for them all. And also, remember those folks that suffered from the hurricane holding they went through. That's such a tremendous task for those folks to face day in and day out. And it'll be for a long time. And this world, the nation leaders, bring them together in a loving, peaceful, as brothers.
Mr. Loris.
Thank
you for being here today. Yes, you were hiding back there. Yes, Mr. Loris. You know, we can always say, pray for this person, pray for that person, but I hope you all know that prayer is powerful. I've witnessed it many times over, and Ralph and I this week, I don't know if most of you don't know, but Toby's been having issues with his foot again, and he's not diabetic, but because his blood flow and stuff to his foot are compromised a good bit, his skin breaks down very easy. So with the way he walks, it rubs his heel. And they've tried different inserts and things. Well, his heel broke open, what's it been, about a month ago. It started out as a pinhole, and it ended up like this. And he was going to a wound care specialist. So every week he would go and get it cleaned out, and they would put a cast, a hard cast on his foot. Well, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, and I can show you after church if you want to see, Carrie Ann sent me a picture of the sore. So this Tuesday, he was to go back, get it cleaned, and get the cast taken off, get it cleaned, and put the cast back on. He calls us, and he says, I got great news. And we said, what? He says, my foot's healed. They didn't have to put the cast back on. So there is power in prayer. And there's no better physician, no greater physician than the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure that you know. Believe in the prayers that you're saying. If you believe and have faith, what's Jesus tell us? He will answer. So in his time, he didn't heal Toby just like that. Maybe he was teaching Toby a little patience on how to take care of his foot or whatever. We don't know, but it was healed. So we can praise God for that. All right, let's come to the Lord in prayer, however you are comfortable doing so, if you want to kneel, if you feel sitting, whatever. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, here we are again. Another week has passed. You've watched over us, you've cared for us, and you've brought us safely into your house for another service. One that we can worship, give you praise, give you honor. Father, we just count it a blessing to be able to lift your voice up and lift praises up to you, whether it be in song or prayer, or just saying, thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for this house of yours that we may come here unaccosted and come worship you. There's no guard standing outside the door that we can't come in. Father, we must be mindful of that freedom that we have, for in other countries, it's not so free. They have to hide in basements and in homes when they have their fellowship. So, Father, we just thank you for that gift of freedom that we can come into your house and worship you. Father, we think of those like Marie Brown's ministry that takes care of sending supplies and much needed material to those in foreign lands. We heard that we were called to pray this week for one of the pastors, Minute, that he was leaving and trying to go across the border to get some medical supplies, for the government has taken most everything, food and medicine. So he was going across the border, and he prayed for safety so that he could get medical supplies and extra food to give to the people. So, Father, we just lift them up to you. We lift Marie Brown's ministry up to you, that it stays strong in helping to spread your good news. Father, we think of the answered prayers. We think of Jigs, his good report this week, and we think of Toby, his good report. Thank you for these blessings and answered prayers, Father, that we can see physically your mighty hand at work. Father, we now want to lift up those that are suffering, those that are having medical issues, and needs. We think of the Baker family. We think of Danny's brother-in-law, which was another blessing, that his fingers were attached so that they are doing well and healing. We think of the healing needed for the Peters family. We think of traveling mercies for Caleb. We think of protection for our military and for our police, Father. You be with them, watch over them, and guide them. Do not let them stumble. Father, we think of Lottie's husband, George, who has eye surgery on Tuesday. May the doctor, you guide the doctor's hand, and may all go well. We think of Jesse Toms. We think of Wilton and Tammy. We think of Jerry's list. We think of all those on the prayer book back there. We just ask that you touch. There's some unspoken prayer, but we know that you know who that is, Father, before it's even written down. We think of Velma. We think of Wanda and Woody, Brad's brother Phil, and his son, Junior. We just ask that you would touch in a mighty way. We think of Linda. We think of Pat. We lift their names up. And Miss Dolores, that you would bless her with good health, that she could come today, Father. And we just ask that you continue to heal her and strengthen her. Father, there's many requests here. And Father, we think of families. We each have a family member that we're praying for salvation, Father. And we just ask that you would put someone in their path that would just direct them, that would lift them up and bring them to you. Father, we thank you for the beautiful weather that we have received, the showers of rain, and now the beautiful sunshine. Father, we think of, we want to ask a blessing upon our church, Father, that it may grow, that it may worship you deeply in loving manner. And to may we here in your church, Father, may we just be good servants that we do for others, not because we want fame or not because we want notice or payment, but because we do it out of the kindness of our hearts, because you call us to do that, to be good and faithful servants. Father, we think of our government, our school system, and yes, Father, even our leadership in our churches, Father. We just lift each and every segment up to you, that they may come to you on bended knee and ask you for guidance, Father. And where they don't do that, where they are stiff-necked and don't give you a second thought, Father, we just ask that you work in a mighty way. Where they do wrong, you make it for good, Father. Our upcoming elections next month, Father, we just ask that you would have your hand upon it, that to make it a free and fair election, and that good, godly Christian men and women get into office, so that we once again can get this country back to you, one nation under God. Father, we just again want to lift up those in the hurricanes, that people would come to help them get their lives back in order and get their homes built. Father, give them the strength and courage they need to weather the storm and the cleanup. Father, now we just ask that you would be with Pastor Sam. Give him a special blessing for his efforts. Sister Jackie, lift her up for it. She's a good and faithful servant. She stands by her husband and gives him the support he needs. So we just ask a blessing upon their family. As he comes before us, may his words be your words, and may they flow freely. And let us, as partakers of the message, have our ears open and our hearts so that we can be receptive and receive the seeds that he has to plant today. Now may we unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we can turn to hymn number 497. 497.
Please stand if you're able.
One that I forgot to put on the list would be the Hargett family, Sissy and Louie and Bobby. They need your prayers because they struggle daily with health concerns and finances, so we just ask that you lift them up as well. Scripture reading comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now we give it to Brother Sam.
Always good to be back at Rocky Ridge on a Sunday morning. As you can see, I like to work on a series of messages. I'm not doing it here because I'm not here all the time, but a lot of my ministry, I preach through a whole book. Took me 6 years to go through Genesis. It didn't take Moses that long to write it. So I have a couple of series of messages here that has to do with the spiritual warfare. When I was growing up, the church I went to was faithful in teaching about salvation. Salvation is easy. You accept Jesus as your Savior. You admit you're a sinner. That shouldn't be that difficult. Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says if we receive him, David Jeremiah talked about this, we receive him. He redeems us and saves us. But he doesn't take us to heaven right away. People have said, why is it when you accept Jesus, you don't go to heaven right away? Well, if that happened, my minister wouldn't be here to lead me to the Lord. So God leaves us here for a life on earth. But where I had my confusion, salvation is easy. You accept Jesus. I trust you've done that. But I'm telling you, the Christian life is not easy. If it is, then maybe I should sit down and you tell me how easy it is. Because when I accepted the Lord, and it was true, that like that, and our church taught us correctly how to live the Christian life. Either they didn't go into more detail of the struggle about it, or I wasn't listening. So after I got saved, I was frustrated. I went to Youth for Christ on Saturday night in Frederick, Sunday school, morning service, evening service, Monday morning Mountaindale school bus, 40 minutes to Frederick High School. By noon, I'd blown it. I'd already done something off. I thought, what is this? They tell you how to live it. I'm telling you, having been in the ministry 60 years, I'm convinced that God puts us in situations only He can get us out. Moses didn't put a pontoon bridge, did he? God dried the Red Sea. And there were people that Jesus raised who couldn't come up, and He didn't raise them. So I just believe that God wants us to depend on Him. We're no more able to live the Christian life on our own than we are to get saved on our own. And so I trust today, as we look in the Word of God, we realize there's a struggle, but there's a Lord, greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Let's bow in prayer, then look into the Word of God. Father, we give thanks today for this church. Thank You for this church down through the decades. Have been faithful to the Word of God. And may Your Word be glorified today. May You be glorified. May we look to You to give us victory over Satan in the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10, where Paul begins, "Finally, my brethren." Now, what we have in Ephesians 6:10, that means we have chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So up till now, Paul has told us about these great doctrines. Finally, brethren. All right? What he's saying in English, go do it. We have things in the Bible. Well, you know it. Do you do it? Finally, brethren. Good doctrine, good instruction. Many times it's not that we don't know what to do. We just don't do what we know we should be doing. You know, you shouldn't be speeding. And the policeman pulls you over on your way to church. That might work for a while. I wouldn't go for that for too long. So we know a lot that we don't do. So sometimes it's not a matter of knowing. It's a matter of doing. So Paul says, all right, strap up. Get to work. You're hired. You pass the interview. All right, get busy, whatever it is. And so finally, my brethren, preparation for combat. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a battle. For people say, you accept Jesus and all your problems are gone. So do you have any problems? Since you got saved, it's been smooth sailing to the promised land. You're above the clouds and all things go. No, it's a struggle. It's a battle. For me as well as for you. When I was young, I thought, when preachers get to be my age, they've got their act together. Well, yeah, I do have my act together, but I forget where I put it. So that's the problem. And so finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we have three words, strong, power, might. The word strong has an inner energy, an inner power, a dynamic inner training. So God says, have that inner strength. This is the second time I've preached this message. Every time I preach about the devil, he illustrates he's still around. And when Debbie and I agreed on this Sunday, it was like the devil saying to me, you going to do that sermon again? You know what I did to you the last time? And it's like David Jeremiah says. I said, yeah, do you know what your future is? You know what Satan's future is? Satan giving me a hard time in the present, but you want him to see his future. And so here we are, standing today in the strength of the Lord. So it means be strong in the Lord. Paul increased all the more in strength. So this inner strength, I would call it compared to rechargeable batteries. You folks, if you ever sit down and start counting, how many rechargeable batteries do you have? Number one, every vehicle in this parking lot has a rechargeable battery, right or wrong? Amen. You have an alternator. If that alternator doesn't charge that battery, what's going to happen? Well, if you're driving a 2000 Astrovan, which I am, we're going to figure out, 2000 has a meter on there so I can tell the volts, the wattage in it, the volts there, 16 volts. Going to Frederick with my daughter and son-in-law that were here, my wife, at Biggs Ford Road. I took note of 16 going down to 14, down to 12. I knew my alternator was not putting out the charge it should be. We were going to Costco. So I know I can drive from Biggs Ford Road to Costco, shop in Costco, and get back to Thurmont. But I'm telling you, I was really praying all the way back. I pulled up in front of my house and the car and the van stopped. The battery was out. That's how. So I know I can drive the van about that far without any charge in the battery. But you've got to get those batteries charged up. How many batteries do you have? I have an electric shaver, chargeable battery, electric toothbrush. How about those tools that you have? And so all these things, if you don't charge them up, even my computer. Now, thankfully on that, there's one little icon. I can tell what charge it is. And I like 100%. I don't like to get it down. One time, it wasn't quite plugged in like it should be. And it kept going on and off and on and off. I didn't have it plugged in enough. So what I believe, God wants us to be recharged. I believe one of the ways we get recharged is we come to church. The songs recharge us. The Bible recharges us. But what happens in churches if they don't preach the Bible? See where I'm going with that one? They're not getting recharged. Does Satan take a vacation when your battery's low? Not at all. And so this strong, it says strong in the Lord. Didn't say strong in the denomination, strong in the family. It is in the Lord. So God puts us in spots where only he can get us out, so only he gets the glory. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I mean do and do and do and do and do, and it's nothing. Like putting those children's Christmas toys together without reading instructions. And when you're about two-thirds through, you find out that you made a mistake on the first step and you're going to tear everything back and start all over again. We can do a lot of nothing. Churches do a lot of nothing if it's not in the Lord. So it's strong strength in the Lord. Then it says power. That means use your equipment. It's impressive how power tools can work. I have power tools. I've been told that I have old batteries, so these new batteries are a lot better than the old batteries. And I saw one in Costco that I'm not going to buy one. Did you know that there's now battery-operated snow blowers? I didn't know that. Two things. I'm not interested in a battery-powered, and I'm not interested in paying $700 for it. But my first question was, how long would it go, right? Here in Thurmont, how long would that snow blower go? So you depend on that battery. So it means put your equipment together, and it says might means actual operating. Here is something going. It's great when something is not revived, and then you revive it. My razor, even this morning, as Satan wanted another illustration, I went to use my razor, and I got part way across my chin enough that you folks wouldn't know the difference. But it quit. So I had an hour or so, and it got under my chin as well. But I felt better when it started up again. I thought, I just got the thing, and the battery already went down. What's going on here? But we need to be in church to have our batteries charged. We need to be among Christians. And I know there was a lady one time visiting in her home. She said, you don't have to be a good Christian to go to church. I said, you're right. Are you a good Christian? She said, no, I've been looking for one. I can't find one. I thought maybe you were one. We need one another. We need to be together. Reading the Bible. I was reading this morning, reading through the Bible, the last part of the book of Mark, about the crucifixion and what they did with Christ and all that spitting and scourging and all that going on there. He did it for us. So there are times when my wife and me will read something, and it's like we just saw that on the news last night. So the Bible is so relevant, being in the Word, being in prayer. We believe in prayer. My wife's a great prayer warrior. There are times that I don't even pray about something, and she's prayed about it, and God answers prayer. So we need prayer. We need one another. We need to be in the Lord and keep the Lord together, preparing for combat. Now, in verse 11, then, we have protection in battles. We get into battle. We want to make sure we have correct protection. In our church in D.C. at one time, we had three Capitol Hill policemen in our church and a park policeman. And today, I guess they all have to wear those bulletproof vests. I pray for our police. Why anybody wants to be a policeman? I guess they must be dedicated and called. I thank the Lord for the Thurmont policeman. And sometimes I'm out in the morning walking. I guess I'm the only old man walking with a cane, so they know who we are and wave to them. But thank the Lord. But policemen need protection, don't they? And so we all need protection. So what is it? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, the Greek word for put on is really an interesting word. It actually means sink down inside and be consumed by your armor. And the best I could say is that when these astronauts go on a space flight, they have to put on these great big uniforms. They have to have others help them. But they are surrounded. And then they put on the helmet and last. But, man, you talk about being clothed. Protected means surrounding. And others help us. The Lord helps us. Now it says the whole armor. It means complete equipment. Now, but Lord willing, if we're still here and the Lord wants us, in 2 weeks we'll be looking at the first three parts of the armor of the believer. And then 2 weeks later, the other parts. So God has given us the armor. Can you imagine fighting Satan if you didn't have any protection? We need protection. Before I went into ministry, in fact, when I graduated from high school, I became a reporter for the Frederick News Post. In fact, I still write articles. Might be one coming out soon about God doesn't settle accounts in October. I won't tell you why I know that, but... One of my assignments was Frederick City Police, Frederick City Fire Companies, Frederick County Fire Companies, Maryland State Police. These were my orders. Independent Hose Company in those days was downtown Frederick on Church Street, and News Post was on Court Street. So one night, and I hate when it does this, about 10:25, independent siren goes off. It's my assignment. 10:30, we got a deadline. I can't do a fire story in 5 minutes. So the editor said, well, I'll give you a little space on the front page. Find out where the fire is. So I went over to the next door and said, where's the fire? It said, a barn fire in Figgyville. Well, a barn fire 10:30 at night is not too hard to find, right? Because you can see the glow in the sky. So I went down there and found where the fire was. And I knew all the firemen, so that was not a problem. Walked up to the fireman at the engine. And asked him about some things. I got more questions. He said, well, I don't know. You have to talk to the chief. I said, where's the chief? Well, he's down near the barn. So I started walking toward the barn. Have you ever been near a barn fire? How much heat it puts out? I couldn't make it. I turned back. I came back to him and I said, I can't go down there. Too hot. You have to trust somebody to do this. He took off his fireman's coat. And here he said, Sam, take this down. So I put on his fire. I often wonder why the firemen have those great big coats on when it's 90 degrees. But I couldn't believe it. As I walked toward that fire, I didn't feel any heat at all, except my face and my feet. He didn't give me his boots and his helmet, but I kind of got inside the coat best I could. I was that coat protected me. I was able to go down and I did not feel the heat. Why? I was protected. I want to tell you something. Satan is out to get us, but we have great protection. The protection of the Lord. So it has the entire armor, but it says the armor of God is what God gives to us. Oh, I was able to get back to the newspaper office without getting burned up. Give the guy's jacket back and got the story in the paper. But that's the only time in my life I've ever worn a fireman's jacket. Man, does that ever protect you? But I want to tell you, we have great protection. We have the armor of God, made by him. Now, I've not been in the military, but I understand when you get to basic camp, they provide the uniform for you. I don't know, maybe it's changed. When you enlist in the military, you go down to Walmart and buy your military clothes. Or do they provide it? At least to start with. I guess they start with. And so God calls us and God protects us. And if you want to stay at 2 or 3 o'clock, I could go ahead and do the other two sermons, but maybe we'll just wait a little bit. But it's amazing the equipment that God has given for us. It deals with truth and righteousness and faith and salvation and a sword that cuts both ways. So you know what's coming a little bit on some of this equipment. Now it says this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word stand means stand face to face. One thing about the devil, how do you negotiate with the devil? What would you stop witnessing? Would that satisfy the devil? Or stop praying? The devil wants to destroy you. How do you compromise with someone who wants to destroy you? I mean, he's going to the lake of fire and he's trying to wreck your life on the way there. So we stand face to face in the battle and look, it says wiles. The methods, the trickery, the travesty, what Satan will do. We do with things in the Bible. Satan brings in false doctrine. I assume you folks realize, church of your age, I'm not sure how old it is. It's older than me because Arthur Rice was your pastor. And he's older than I was. But it's interesting today how old a church is that's still faithful to the Word of God. Haven't left the Word. I don't have any idea. But I wonder what percent of churches in Frederick County, let's say that are, okay, I'm 84. How many churches in Frederick County older than 84 years of age that are still preaching the Word? Not many. It's sad to say. You folks are unique. We enjoy David Jeremiah and what he's teaching you. Churches are departing from the faith. So the devil's trying to destroy the churches. Is the devil trying to work in our government? Oh, is he ever? Is the devil ever trying to work in our schools, in our families, between neighbors? So the devil is up to all kind of tricks. The last time I preached this message, we came home from church, and my wife and I have a lunch, and next door neighbor knocked on the door and said, Sam, here's a golf ball. And that knocked a hole in your siding. We've lived in Jeremiah States on the way to the ninth hole in case you're golfing and you slice to the left or to the right. We're on the other side of the street from the golf course. We've been there 15 years. That's the first time we've ever had damage. We have golf balls all over the place. I collect them. One of my grandson-in-law's father sells golf balls in Pennsylvania, so you lose them to me, we're going to sell them in Pennsylvania. But think, 15 years, and that's the first time that we had a hole in our house. And then we're going to Pennsylvania to visit my daughter and son-in-law and going to Bloomsburg Fair. Man, we love the Bloomsburg Fair. Went to bed with sweet dreams in our mind. Well, not really. At midnight, my wife's heartbeat is 150 beats a minute. So you know what that means. Down the road to Geisinger Hospital in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. We've been there before. 6 years ago, we were there, and Hillary and Trump were debating. Here we are again in another election. We got to quit going there on election years. But my wife's heartbeat was up. They were able to get it down. And then Wednesday morning, my wife's heart rate was up again. So I prayed a prayer a husband ought to pray. I said, Lord, you tell the devil, leave my wife alone. Is it all right to say that, fellas? Ladies, you. Devil, you leave my wife alone. 2 days later, my right hearing aid quit working. So I got that fixed. I was copying some things for my ministerial association. And all of a sudden, instead of copy coming out, blobs of ink coming out. So I had to change the toner in my computer. And then other things would happen. And I lost internet connection for just a little bit. And Satan does these things. So we're aware of his tactic. Where are you down? And I just keep saying, Satan, I know where you're going. And I'm not going there. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. So Satan has all these wiles. So now verse 12, the personnel we are fighting. Who is this battle really against? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have an election coming up. If our only hope is to throw the bums out, which bums are we going to put in? The problem in America is not political. It is spiritual. And you know where it begins? In the churches. What happened in America did not start in the swamp. It started in the churches. I'm old enough to know in the mid-1940s, churches in Frederick County departed from the Bible. We know firsthand because my dad was in a church, superintendent of Sunday school. He made sure every Bible lesson was a Bible. In Bible church, in school, you go to church on Sunday to study the Bible. But they wanted to bring in denominational literature, not Bible literature. So my dad's not too easy to get around, but they eventually outmaneuvered my dad and said, next quarter we're going to have denomination literature. My dad said, what will the subject be? They said, church history. Dad said, when the Bible goes, I go. He left that church. So I saw firsthand in Frederick County in the mid-1940s, the Bible taken out of the churches and the pulpits. Instead of preaching the word of God, we're preaching the word of man. By the 1960s, we're taking the Bible out of schools. I went to Frederick County schools all 12 years. Louisville Elementary, Elm Street Junior High School, and Pat and I, maybe others. Cadets, Frederick High School. Thurmont, good. Emmitsburg, good in those days. Walkersville, we'll go with that. Brunswick and Middletown and all these schools. And my 12 years in school, probably you folks too, I never heard one comment that would contradict the Bible. Not saying they were Christians, but we had Christmas programs in public schools. We had devotions on the PA system and Bible reading, and nobody ever got shot. Can you imagine that? So we took the Bible out of our churches, out of our schools. We're taking the Bible out of our government, and we wonder why we have the problems we have. So we need the churches to get back to preaching the Word of God, preaching the Bible, and that's what we have. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, this word wrestling, It's present tense. So it's a continual wrestle. In high school, I liked football, soccer, basketball, track, but I'm not into wrestling. I saw too much throwing around and banging around. But my son-in-law, Mark, who's here, can you imagine him? When he was in high school, he was wrestling. He's one of, five sons, and he's the fourth, and the other guys, and they were strong and older. And what Mark had said, when they had the wrestling matches in central Pennsylvania, there was actually two wrestling matches going on. One on the floor with the guys, and the other one in the stands with the fathers fighting because their sons get beat up. So you have the wrestling all the time. And when Mark was early in the freshman year, every time he lose a wrestling match, his father would beat him up when he got home. By the time Mark was a senior, can you imagine how tough he was? I mean, nobody could handle him. He was tough. Wrestling can be difficult work. So we wrestle against Satan all the time, not flesh and blood, but principalities. We believe there are forces about us that are over the country. Primary force. Then it says powers. I would like that too. These FBI agents show up at the door and they bang the door and break the door down. Now that's physical power. But someone above them gave that authority. So there's a ranking going on among these powers. And it says against the rulers of the darkness of this age. You ever sometimes feel like there's a spiritual darkness? It seems to me it's a clear speaking in the Bible. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Do you know where I'm going with that? And so there are times there seems to be a pressing darkness around us. And that's Satan. Satan is telling us, church is over. Christianity is over. God is dead. Billy Graham said one time, if God is dead, he must have died recently. I talked to him this morning. So there's this darkness about us. And it tells us in John 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In our cities, it's not safe after dark. You got all these lights on. And the community where I lived in, when my wife and I, that I would walk the streets at night. I wouldn't even walk them in the daytime. Gotten worse. Why? Satan and the power of darkness and spiritual darkness. People can't see the light of the Word of God. And then it says spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. Spiritual wickedness. What it means, spirits that are invisible and powerful. Do you know there's something in this room right now that's mighty powerful but invisible? Electricity. Does this church have electricity? Do you see it? You see the results of it. You see that this microphone's on, this light is on, the organ's on. You see these things are on. All right. If you want proof that there's electricity, stick your finger in a socket. Why do I use that illustration? Like most of you guys have probably done it a few times. At our farm, when they put electricity in the barn, I don't know what it was, but they never grounded it correctly in the barn. You guys are farmers, know what I'm talking about. And there were certain switches. If you didn't get just that knob, if you got the side, you got more than the side. You got part of public energy going down your leg. Wasn't pleasant. So electricity, you can't see it, but it's powerful. So we don't see these forces behind us. And I'm wondering, when we get to heaven, when there's some things in our life that are like a mystery, why did that thing happen? We might find out it was the devil trying to discourage us. Why just that? Now, I don't know, in your church and other churches, when you have vacation Bible school, to tell boys and girls about Jesus, all kind of crazy things happen. Why then? Satan hates children. He hates salvation. He doesn't want children to be saved. So we have this spiritual wickedness, malice, depravity. Can you imagine how wicked Satan is? And it permeates all over society. We have to recognize it. Last weekend, my family gathers for Color Fest in Thurmont. So my son-in-law and daughter were there, Beth and Mark were there, and our second oldest granddaughter, Becca, her husband and three children. And they were doing something we usually don't do. They were watching cartoons. We don't have enough fun in life. I don't watch cartoons right now. And I wasn't paying any attention. I just happened to walk through one time, and Eliza is five. And I heard Eliza say, "Mommy, I don't think we should watch this cartoon because it's not good." I appreciate that a five-year-old recognized something. Cartoons are bad? Yeah, fine. Even cartoons. But I was so pleased that my five-year-old great-granddaughter could recognize, "Mommy, that cartoon's not good." Can you imagine trying to bring evil into children through cartoons? Harmless cartoons that are not harmless. So I'm saying Satan is out in every place he can. Then it says, in high places. We have over in Daniel 9. It says, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. So I think in America today, I think there's evil about us. I think there are evil forces trying to destroy us. Probably in the 1960s, early 60s, before I was married, I was counselor at a camp down in Front Royal, Virginia, down up in the mountains. And we always would have a missionary. And she was from one of these countries that has voodoo and all these various things that we know are satanic. She made an interesting comment. She said, as America gets further away from God, satanic activity will become more obvious. The devil's going to get braver when you take the Bible away. And that was in the 60s. I couldn't believe what I'm seeing, what that lady said. We get away from the Lord, and the devil comes in every area. So there's this fighting that we're going on. Now verse 13. Provision for victory. What are we going to do? Wherefore, since we have this, all right, the devil started this. What are we going to do about it? Take unto you the whole armor of God. You have it. Now put it on. And starting next time I'm here, Lord willing, we'll talk about what it is. Take. It means take up. And the armor's on your feet. Now get dressed. I know that football is not war, but I understand football, the team's going to put those pads on and got to get ready for the game, whatever it is you're doing. And if you're doing dangerous work, maybe you need to do that. I thank the Lord. One time I was wearing steel-toed shoes when the lawnmower slipped over and cut a hole in my toe. Or what, the steel toe, not my physical toe. So we need to put on the armor of God. It says that you may be able to withstand. That is, stand against successfully. Why has this church been successful? Because you've been faithful to the word of God. Would the devil like to destroy this church? When did the devil want to destroy this church? First time you had a service. When did he want to destroy it? Today. But we stand successfully. It says, able to withstand in the evil day. Those of us who have been in ministry for a long time, we get together and we say, when we were back in Bible college in the 1950s and 60s, if we would explain to people 2022, 60 years ago. They would say, that'll never happen. We've heard about evil around the world. I can't believe sometimes the things we find, the evilness about us. But it says, we withstand. And it says, and having done all, when you do everything that God wants you to do, it says, stand. Now, it doesn't say chase. I'd much rather preach about Jesus than fighting Satan. But it's in the text. We're going to do it. We're going to keep standing. It means after the battle's over, after Satan's done everything, what are you going to tell him? I still love Jesus. Huh? Satan's giving you everything he can give you. And you say, I still love Jesus. Still love the Bible. Still love the folks at Rocky Ridge. Still love to be together with the things of God. We've not quit because we know Satan's future. And with us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Isn't it great to know the Lord with all that's going on? Don't you feel sorry for people today that are hoping the next thing will get us out of this? No, Jesus will. The Bible will. No one else. But he's in our heart. May we live for him. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks. If you've given us the victory through Christ, we can't do it ourselves, and you're not asking us to. You've given us the armor. May we live for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
That rose again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.